Will you turn with me to Revelation and chapter 2? Revelation and chapter 2. And we are going to read the first seven verses. Revelation chapter 2, starting to read at verse 1. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. But you have this in your favor. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. On a Sunday evening, for a little while, I'd like to do a series on the seven letters to the seven churches in Revelation. Gareth has preached on these letters in the past. Some not so long ago, some quite a while ago. But I thought that it would be good to take a look at them again. And for a number of reasons, I think they will provide us with some focus to help us in our times of prayer on a Sunday evening. I've also chosen to do a short series like this because I don't want to embark upon a long series just before Christmas. These seven letters were written to seven churches in Asia Minor. Now, just bear with me a moment because Gareth has given me a new toy and I want to see if I can work it. I'm going to provide you with a picture of where the seven churches are located. Oh, we've done it. Success. There's hope for the future. Seven churches, yes, located in Asia Minor, what we would call today Western Turkey. They were real churches, made up of real people. And the author of these letters, of course, was the Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church. I don't know about you, but every time I read these letters, I can't help wondering what Jesus would put in a letter to us here at Crocken Hill Baptist Church. I wonder how he would commend us. I wonder what concerns he might express. I wonder what warnings he might give. I wonder what commands he might impress upon us. Perhaps similar thoughts enter into your mind whenever you read these letters. Well, this evening we're focusing our attention just for a little while on this first letter to the church in Ephesus. We read in the first verse, to the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I must admit that I'm not entirely sure who the angel is. You'll see from your NIV Bible, if you have one in front of you, the word translated angel can also be translated messenger, something that reference is being made to the guardian angel of the church. But I think the most common view is that it refers to the pastor or to the leader of the church. But as I say, I'm not entirely sure who the angel is. The church at Ephesus seems to have been a large and well-established church, certainly a well-established church, as well as a well-taught church, because the Apostle Paul had spent 3 years ministering there. We see that in Acts chapter 20 and verse 31. It's also commonly believed that the Apostle John was the bishop there for some years, or the pastor there for some years. We see in this first verse that the church is reminded that the Lord Jesus holds the 7 stars in his right hand and walks among the lampstands. And if you look at chapter 1 and verse 20, you will see that the stars are the 7 angels or the 7 messengers, and the lampstands are the 7 churches. They are referred to as lampstands because their purpose is to shine for the Lord Jesus in a dark and sinful world. Their responsibility is to hold out the word of life to young and to old. But isn't it wonderful to think that the Lord Jesus walks among the lampstands? That is, amongst the churches. My conviction is that when we gather together as church, that Jesus is among us, that he walks among us. That's a tremendous encouragement, isn't it? But it's also a rather awesome thought. Where 2 or 3 are gathered, Jesus promises to be in the midst of his people. He is here, isn't he? By his Spirit. Well, we see that this church had much to commend it. Look at verses 2 to 3. 2 and 3 and 6. I know your deeds, your hard work and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, but you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. And then verse 6, but you have this in your favour. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. You may remember that the Apostle Paul, before he left Ephesus, warned the elders that false teachers would come in among them. Well, it seems that the elders had taken heed to the warning and had defended the church against error. This church, it seems, was a doctrinally sound church, a hard-working church. A church that was persevering in the midst of persecution. It was a church that resisted the practices of the Nicolaitans. The Nicolaitans engaged in sexual immorality and the eating of food sacrificed to idols. This church has much to commend it. I think it's the sort of church that probably I would like to have been a part of. And yet we see that the Lord of the church has something against it. We see that in verse 4. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Now the question surely that ought to be upon our minds this evening is, what did this love amount to exactly? The traditional answer is to say that they had forsaken their love for the Lord Jesus. That their faith had become dry, orthodox, but dry. In other words, that the flame of love that had once burned brightly for the Lord Jesus was barely flickering. Well, I think this view has much to commend it. And I think we would all recognize that churches can find themselves in this position today. But another view that has risen to prominence in more recent time is that advocated by Gregory Beale in his enormous commentary on Revelation. He argues that this verse refers to them losing their first love, not of Jesus, but witnessing to Jesus' saving grace. In other words, they've lost their love for evangelizing. They're just not doing it anymore. They're just sitting in their holy huddle every Sunday. And Beale argues this on the basis that the introduction to each of the letters is key to understanding the message of the letter. And if we look at verse 1 of this letter, we will see that the believers in Ephesus are reminded that they are supposed to be a lampstand. That is, a church that shines for Jesus by making him known. And I think this view has much to commend it. Indeed, it's a view that I now lean towards. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. I think this can so easily happen, can't it? You know, a person becomes a Christian, or a new church is formed, and there's tremendous enthusiasm. The gospel has just been received. It's just been understood. And there's a desire to tell as many people as possible about the Lord Jesus. But perhaps over time, for one reason or another, maybe such things as discouragement, that no longer happens. There is a forsaking of this first love, this love of witnessing, this love of evangelism. Well, this is a church that needs to repent and do the things it did at first. Look at verse 5. Consider how you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. Jesus clearly wants this church to think carefully the degree to which it has fallen and to repent. And clearly repentance doesn't amount to simply saying sorry and then carrying on as before. It means putting things right. It means doing the things they did at first. It means resolving to busily engage in the work of evangelism. They must be intentional about it. Whether it be engaging in personal evangelism or engaging in the evangelism done by the church as a whole. And if they don't listen to what Jesus is saying, well, then Jesus will remove their lampstand. That is, he will remove his spirit from them. So they must listen. And of course, we must listen if this is true of us. Let me finish this evening by reading verse 7. It's an encouragement, isn't it, to hear what Jesus is saying. Whoever hears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Well, in view of that, shall we pray? Let's pray. Lord, it's difficult to know sometimes exactly what is being said, and we recognize that Christians have interpreted the verses that we have been looking at this evening in slightly different ways. But clearly this church, whilst it had much to commend it, had done something quite serious in forsaking their first love. And Lord, if that does indeed amount to witnessing or testifying to the saving grace of the Lord Jesus, we pray that we may not lose our first love. We pray that we may be a people concerned to reach the lost with the good news of the gospel. We confess that sometimes we do get discouraged and we withdraw, perhaps having been rejected, or our message being rejected so many times. But we pray that you would so work in us that we may not give up, but that we may be keen and willing and enthusiastic about sharing the good news of the gospel, the one true gospel with others, because they so desperately need to hear it. And may we be a church that is always seeking to reach out. May we be intentional about our personal witness. Maybe also be concerned to get behind the evangelistic endeavours of the local church here. Lord, we acknowledge the times when we have failed you, when we have not been all that you would have us be. Please forgive us and help us to serve you as we ought. We pray that we may be like the early church that was filled with your Spirit and went out and proclaimed the word of God boldly. So hear our prayer. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we thank God for his word to us this evening. We're going to move into a time of communion.